From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch inviting you to stay with us for a message from the Word of God, some Christ-honoring sacred music, and the hot topic of the day. In the course of this message, entitled Christ the Divine Teacher, Dr. Cairns has shown that the parables of Christ had two results in the lives of his hearers. By God's sovereign grace, some were given the ability to understand and believe the gospel. For others, the parables simply confirmed them in their sin as they rejected what Christ was teaching. Before coming to the preaching of the Word of God, Dr. Cairns brings today's hot topic, where we see that the president of the Southern Baptist Convention has ordered his constituents to stop blogging.
The president of the Southern Baptist Convention thought that a blog site for Southern Baptists to carry on a mature theological conversation would be a good thing. He and other SBC leaders envisaged iron sharpening iron as their members discussed the issues that faced them and their churches. It didn't take long for the bright hope of edifying discussion to fade and for the bitter cold of reality to set in. So now the Southern Baptist Convention president has issued a very public plea for the bloggers to stop. I won't repeat the words in which he couched his appeal. They are deliberately provocative and play on an all too common form of cursing, and so I'll not use them. Sufficient to say that he is vehemently desirous that all Southern Baptists should quit blogging on church affairs. Here's what happened. An internet site that was supposed to be a place where Baptists could engage in healthy discussion on issues that are of common concern and where they could learn from the informed opinions of their brethren quickly degenerated into a place for vituperation, name-calling, bitterness, and the contentious airing of issues that should properly be dealt with in church boards or meetings. Soon people were dragging out all the issues in their local churches that they wanted to weigh in on, and, not content with expressing opinions and issues, launched bitter attacks on those with whom they disagreed. So, said the president of the convention, enough is enough. Unfortunately, it's not very likely that too many people will pay a lot of attention to his appeal. There's something addictive about internet blogging. It seems to give people a feeling of power. It certainly gives people whose stature would never gain them much of a hearing the chance to gain a widespread audience. People whose popular appeal is so great that they could announce that they were going to hold a public meeting to speak on some subject and who would find themselves almost entirely without an audience are understandably addicted to blog sites where they can appear more important than they could ever have thought. There are serious problems with this culture of blogging. People who publish books usually have to find a publisher who sees enough merit in the publication to back it with his money. Either that or the writer has to put up his own money. Furthermore, with any sort of decent editing standards, published writers usually have a check on the sources they use. However, it costs nothing to blog, and unfortunately there are very low, more likely non-existent, standards of editorial integrity. As a result, people feel that they can state or repeat just about anything. Whatever they read, they often repeat as gospel truth, frequently assassinating the character of a fellow believer on the mere say-so of another blogger. I have a theory about blogs, about church affairs. I think that in most cases they deal with issues that biblically should be dealt with coolly and deliberately in the courts of the church, and blogs are usually an attempt to to stir up controversy and settle, at least that's the claim, settle the issue before it can be dealt with as the Word of God requires. To me, such blogs are illegitimate, an attempt to circumvent the proper authority that Christ has established in his church. That's the crime that the Southern Baptist president wants to stop in his denomination. As I've said, his chances are slim. But for the sake of him whose name we bear, I trust that seeing Christians will heed his call.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. Every day we've been receiving letters by mail, by email, and we've been receiving telephone calls. Some of you want to say thank you and tell us how much the Lord has blessed His Word to your heart. Some of you have told us of life-changing experiences through the preaching of the Word. Some of you have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program, such as A New Beginning, A Plain Man's Guide to the Way of Salvation and Going On with God, Separated Unto the Gospel, a little handbook that tells you about the Free Presbyterian Church and our stand, and our quarterly magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly. These are free to those who ask, and many of you have already written to get them. We thank those who have written, and we would encourage the rest of you to do the same. If there is any way in which we can help you, please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. So you see, it's really easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Please don't forget the word radio. It's ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
The truth is that all men, given their own natural bent, would go all the way to destruction, and from the very gates of hell, they would still say, "We will not have this man." So would you, and so would I. But for the rescuing hand of sovereign grace. That's what Christ is saying. This blindness, therefore, is what theologians call penal or judicial. It is the judgment of God. If you want to see an example of this in real life, go back to the book of Exodus and follow carefully what the book of Exodus has to say about Pharaoh. The Lord told Moses, "I will harden his heart that he will not let the people go, in order that I might bring my judgments against him and against his idols and against his nation." That's one side. That's the truth from God's side. But then you read, Pharaoh hardened his own heart. And then we read, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, how do you bring those things together? I used to puzzle about that, and then I came to realize, look, I'm born a sinner, totally depraved. There's not an ounce of spiritual light or goodness or desire for those things in my entire being by nature. I'm incapable of spiritual good. Totally depraved, totally corrupted. I'm born dead in sin, blind to truth, deaf to the call of God, and with a heart that's set in me to do evil.
Now let's level the playing field, as it were, and start off. There we're on level ground. There's where we are. That's the starting point of truth. Now then, I ask myself, what does God need to do to harden my heart against him? What does he need to inject into my thinking, my heart, my life? What change does he need to make in me to harden my heart against him? And I came to realize, absolutely none. Absolutely none. We often hear the saying, what do sinners need to do to perish? Nothing. Just do nothing. You continue as you are. What does God need to do to make me hardened against him? Nothing. That's the way I am. In other words, the hardening is the judgment of God withdrawing any grace that would change that situation. It is the judgment of God that leaves sinners to their own willful, chosen way. This is a penal, judicial blindness to those who have a stubborn refusal to see and hear. Now, sinners should see, and they should understand the light and truth of the Word of God. I again remark in Mark 4:33, they were able to hear it. Don't want to get into a theology lecture this morning, and I'm not going to tread down that path very far at all. But it is fascinating when you study total depravity in systematic theology and total inability just to understand how and where that inability is located. It is natural in one sense, but is it really constitutional? I don't think so. It is natural in that it belongs to man as fallen, but it was no part of the constitution of man to be a sinner. God constituted him absolutely sinless. And the constitution of man, what makes a man, has no sin in it. The Lord Jesus was a man. His constitution was human. The parts, if you want it, go to make up a true man. And yet there is no hint of sin. There is no necessity of seeing sin and inability as residing in the created constitution of man. God made man able to hear, able to fellowship with him. God made man in his own image so that there would be that point of contact. They were able to hear it, but by their own depraved will, they hear, they don't understand. And then they're left to that. So that the preaching of the gospel itself results in their sinking into even deeper darkness. Look at that parable of the sower we read last week. You remember how the Lord Jesus said, here's a parable, a sower went forth to sow. You've got to see this not in terms of somebody out with a little tiller and then using a machine to spread his seed in neat rows. No, the sower went out and he reached down into his bag and he scattered the seed. And some fell here and there, and he gives the four types of ground. The wayside, the stony place, the thorny place, and then the good ground. But do you see what the Lord Jesus is saying? There are many wrong ways of hearing the Word of God. There are many wrong ways of listening to the gospel. And as he looked out in his congregation, the Lord Jesus recognized, there is the wayside, there is the stony ground, there is the thorny ground. Look at these people, they are thronging, and they appear to be listening, but they have no mind and no heart to hear. And if you want to know that that is an accurate assessment, just follow him away. These people who had heard were content not to understand. For notice, they never even came to ask. They weren't interested in light. Some of them were interested in miracles. Some of them were interested in excitement. Some of them were interested in being fed. They had various interests. Some of them, and I think the vast majority, were interested in the possibility of setting up under this man or his leadership a kingdom that would overthrow the hated Romans. They were interested in many things, but they had no interest in what he really had to say. So the preaching of the gospel actually was a savor of death unto death. To me, that is a scary thing. Because what the Lord Jesus saw in Israel 2,000 years ago, I have got to recognize wherever I preach. I preach a sovereign Savior, but I recognize that I'm preaching to sinners who are the authors of their own destruction. And yet they don't want to think they're being destroyed. You look at the normal congregation around Greenville, around America today. Look at people, and they're listening to the preaching even of the pure gospel. I'm not talking about apostate places where Christ is not preached. Look at places like this where Christ is proclaimed. And then stop and think. You've still got these four kinds of people listening. I don't know why you're listening. I don't know what your real interest is. But I fear that there are many who want this or that or the other thing out of the church or out of Christ. But they have little, in most cases, no real heart for what his message is all about. These are parables of the kingdom. Without getting into the details, the rule of God in the souls of man. The lordship and kingship of Christ in the hearts and lives and service of those who name his name. These are parables, therefore, about Christ's sovereignty and our submission and our service for his glory. And I tell you, few there are who have an interest at heart in such a Savior. Men and women, the seriousness of this comes out in two things. With this I'll close. First, the Lord Jesus says these people who don't want to hear, they're going to lose what they have, or as Luke says, what they seem to have. The Jews boasted many privileges. They lost them all. Like many in our churches today, they glory in many things. that they count more precious than Christ and His gospel. And I tell you today on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that whatever you count more precious than Christ, in losing Christ you will lose them as well. And especially will you lose the very preaching of the gospel and the very ability and opportunity to hear.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.